98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
See, boys. All right, let's do it. It's noon on a Friday. It is time for Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Today's top stories all in one spot. And here to bring them to you is Cody Fincher. Cody?
Yeah. I'm Luke Lipinski, question mark?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Bear, what are you doing?
All right. I'm still trying to figure out what you could have possibly been talking about when you were going blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
in that
right.
open.
Interesting. Anyway.
You know the story, though. You know the actual, that's him actually ordering food, right? It's just, it was pulled from like 6 years ago or something.
No, he's talking about the
Yeah, but then, well.
That was not me ordering.
Where did my
food.
Music go, Jesse? That's what I want to know.
It's just a more of a serious Wolfing Down Your Lunch.
All right. Okay. Let's start in the NBA.
Where the You're best doing part, well, boy.
The yeah, best part is he reached so over well. And potted it down. That was my favorite
yeah.
part.
Let's start in the NBA, where the All-Star Game starters were announced last night. No Devin Booker, no Chris Paul starting for the Western Conference. The starters for the West are LeBron, Steph Curry, Ja Morant, Nikola Jokic, and for some reason, Andrew Wiggins. What were your guys' reaction when neither Book nor Chris Paul were selected as starters?
Last night, there was no reaction because we knew. I think we could tell based on the voting that they had released. But when they initially released the voting and Klay Thompson was way ahead of Devin Booker. And then, Wolf, I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you do. Remember Kendall Jenner either tweeted out or Instagrammed out that she wanted to see Devin Booker in the All-Star
yes.
game. And we looked up, like, okay, she's got 36-plus million followers. If they all vote, Devin Booker's going to win by a landslide.
Right.
It didn't really give him that much of a boost.
Well, first of all, I'm glad that, you know what, he didn't win by a landslide because of Kendall Jenner. Can I just tell you that right now? Honestly,
that would have been hilarious,
care.
Though.
And I feel so good after listening to Devin Booker talk about this. You know what? Accolades are wonderful. There's no doubt about it. But the fan voting, it's a popularity contest for the most part. The players get it. They understand Devin Booker. And they've got, he's got the respect of the players. Because of that, I honestly couldn't care what the fans think anymore. I don't.
And by the way, fans, listen to our show from 10 to 2 every week.
Yeah, please do that. That'd be nice. Former Cardinals kicker Jay Feely was on with you, Wolf, and Paul Calvisi on the Big Red Rage last night. And he talked about what the Cardinals need to do to get better this offseason.
They have to be honest with themselves.
Yeah.
And when I say they, and you as well, you mean players looking at themselves.
Yes.
And being honest about where their deficiencies are and how to get better. Coaches looking at themselves and say, where did yes. I struggle? Where didn't I do a great job? Why do we continue to not do well in the second half of the season?
What do you guys think the Cardinals need to do to get better this offseason and move on from that really disappointing end of the season?
I think there's a lot of truth to what he just said. You can't. I get as an organization, you need to present yourself to the media and the public a certain way, but you shouldn't be sugarcoating it internally, and especially individually, which is, I'm guessing, where you're going to go with this, Wolf. As an individual player or coach, like, if you need to get better, you need to be honest with yourself. You don't want to beat yourself up to the point where you're just like beaten down, you have no motivation. But there's clearly a lot that could get better next season.
Yeah, it starts with Kyler Murray. It really does, in regard to improving himself, and I think he will definitely do that. I would also say Cliff Kingsbury and the scheme that Cliff Kingsbury runs, and getting Kyler Murray, convincing Kyler Murray, if that's the problem, to get more under center. They got to get D-Hop healthy. They got to sign James Conner and bring him back. Justin Pugh is another guy they have to bring back. And then they got to go find a two-way tight end. Fix the offense. Fix the offense. And you'll fix this team.
All right. The AFC and NFC championship games are this weekend. And I want predictions, Wolf. I'm looking at you.
Okay,
I want predictions.
Guess.
No, predictions. What's going to happen? We'll start with the NFC championship, where it's in, unfortunately, all NFC West matchup with no Cardinals involved. Will Sean McVay finally beat Kyle Shanahan.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Luke.
I think so, and I do think it should be a close-ish game, but you get to this point in the season, and for me, I just look and I'm like, okay, there's however many different ways the 49ers could win the game. I feel like there's like three times as many ways the Rams could win this game. I don't want to look past the fact the 49ers have beaten them six straight times. But sort of like we were talking about
just
earlier.
Just listen to what you just said.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I don't want to look past
six
the fact
straight.
Six
the 49ers
straight.
49ers have beaten
I didn't even
the Rams
know that.
Six
oh, yeah.
consecutive times.
But it does
with
feel
Jimmy
like
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know if he's been the quarterback every time. Yeah. I do think though, as obviously like you said earlier, Wolf. At a certain point, the Rams are going to beat them, and right. now it's like there's a Super Bowl on the line. I think the Rams win.
Yeah, honestly, this game is going to come down to who controls the line of scrimmage, man, and it's going to be a bloodbath. I really do believe that the strength of the 49ers, their defensive line. The question mark I still have with the Rams, Matthew Stafford. I'm sorry. I'm just telling you the way that it is. To me, it's still the question mark of Matthew Stafford. But Matthew Stafford has shown he's up to the task. He has won the last two playoff games he's played in. I just think the talent overall of the Rams is going to win out.
I just love it with Jimmy G. It's like, Jimmy G's not a question mark. We just let him go out there and throw the ball wherever he wants. We'll win anyway, because they do.
Yeah.
But Stafford, it's like, Stafford, you better play a good game. Well, he's probably looking like what Jimmy G throws to the other team every game. It's okay. That's Jimmy G. He's fine.
All right, let's move over to the AFC then, where it's Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals and Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Are the Chiefs going to make it to their third straight Super Bowl? Really?
I really want to pick the Bengals.
I do too.
I did it the first
They're
two rounds.
Fun.
But I just, the way that Chiefs-Bills game ended, how is Cincinnati going to stop Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce? They're not.
Well, you know what they could do? They could actually possess the ball with Joe Mixon and run the ball in between the tackles. What if they took a Bill Belichick-like approach against the Buffalo Bills? And say, you know, we're going to line up and we are going to run the ball straight at the Kansas City Chiefs and find out once and for all if they're able to handle it. And by the way, we'll shorten the game and we'll possess the ball. That is the only path to victory I see for the Cincinnati Bengals. Having said that, I think the Chiefs win.
Because it only takes 13 seconds. Unless you keep them off the field for the entire game, they're going to find a way to score.
I'm still not over that. I was rooting for the Bills in that
game.
And
that's a guess, not
it's
a prediction.
Educated guess.
Almost sounded like a
see,
guarantee.
See, here's the thing, though. With a prediction, though, what happens is you get people banging their chest, right? Oh, yeah, see, I know that, and I made the prediction. And then they ignore their defeats. And don't, oh, yeah, no.
It was just a guess, right?
It was a guess, yeah, exactly. And that, two basin onions, I suck buttermilk when it comes to predictions. I really do. I think of too many variables that actually could come into play.
You end up arguing with yourself?
Exactly.
All right, we had some breaking news this morning from the ASU football program. Devil's Digest first to report that offensive coordinator Zach Hill has resigned. The story says that the school was notified of Hill's involvement by in the investigation by the NCAA. They met with him and his attorney Thursday, and the findings that were shared led to Hill and his resignation. What was your guys' reaction when you heard this story?
Stunning. Stunned. That is so fascinating right there. What do you mean? Okay, so he was tied. Well, weren't there a lot of people there? Weren't there a lot of coaches there? Are you telling me he's the guy who set this up? I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the fact they were in a dead period. It was illegal because of the dead period. Was he the guy who said, hey, let's do this. Let's go ahead and bring people in. I don't know. Is he the fall guy for this whole thing? We need clarification on that.
Yeah, nothing stuns me at this point when there's an investigation going, but my reaction was just, A, the offense has not been good since he got here, and B, if he's really, I don't know this, but if he's really like a major part of why they're being investigated, that ended up not being a very good hire. If he came in here and ruined the offense and got your school investigated, now, like you said, it sounds like it's more than one person. Maybe it's the whole program. We don't know, because the NCAA hasn't told us anything yet, but doesn't look good for him, at least.
Real quick, I just saw this from our own Tyler Drake retweeting it. Larry Fitzgerald has joined LinkedIn, and in his bio it says, investor, philanthropist, former athlete.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that the way, isn't that the total way Larry Fitzgerald would announce his retirement on his LinkedIn page?
Well, he's starting a pickleball career. Did you see that? I think he's going up against Michael Phelps here at some point in the next couple of weeks. Wolfie, a big pickleball guy?
I did not see that, as a matter of fact, no.
We should start a pickleball team.
Mini tennis. Me. Everybody's doing that.
Yeah, everybody. Let's start a team.
Off the hook. It's apparently.
I'll tell you, if you're starting a pickleball team, you might want to call Tim Kempton.
Yeah.
That dude is really like into pickleball.
That's true. No, I think we start a team, we take down Tim Kempton's team. It'll be like a sports movie from the mid-90s. All right, that was Wolfing Down Your Lunch right there. Thank you, guys. Coming up next, with a Super Bowl spot on the line, can Sean McVay finally get the best of Kyle Shanahan? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Okay, let's get this out of the way first, Wolf. Rams 49ers. I'm not asking you for a prediction or a guess or a guarantee or any of that.
Okay.
Who do you want to win the game?
Oh, man, that is good. Who do I want to win it? You know what? I'm going to go with the 49ers.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the 49ers win the game. Jimmy G, the underdog that he is. Not a big fan of Jimmy G's, yet at the same time, I don't like Matthew Stafford. I'm just going to admit it. All right? I don't. I don't root like openly against anybody, but at the same time, Matthew Stafford in the Rams, the whole LA thing, that would bother me right now.
I think we're getting to the same place through different paths, but because I don't like San Francisco. I mean, in general, I mind the Rams less than the 49ers, but I think like if the Rams win the Super Bowl, I think there's a part of me that's worried this is going to be like they're going to be going a lot for the next 5 or 6 years. Now, I understand San Francisco's been to the NFC Championship, I think, 6 times in the last 10 years. Did you realize that? I'll double check that. That seemed like a lie to me when it was told to me.
Yeah.
But I think it's actually accurate.
Wow.
That
is a shock.
If San Francisco gets to the Super Bowl, there's just so much chaos then within that organization. What do you do with Jimmy G? What do you do with Trey Lance? I'd rather the Rams don't quite get there yet. San Francisco would be more enjoyable.
See, for me right now, they've got problems. San Francisco has got problems. If, in fact, Matthew Stafford and the Rams, they go and they win the Super Bowl, everything that Les Snead did, everything that Sean McVay did, pushing the chips into the center of the table, actually worked. They won it. They won the whole thing. And I don't know if I'm ready for that right now, especially out of the Rams. I always loved playing the Rams. There's no doubt about it. That helmet in particular and wiping out that helmet was very, very cool. The 49ers, they're in a much tougher position right now because of Jimmy G. If somehow, some way, the 49ers, if they won the Super Bowl, I don't know how many people believe it.
Well,
Jimmy G.
I think even if
they won the Super Bowl.
You may have just hit on it right there. I think somewhere in the back of my mind, I think, hey, if the 49ers win this game, that's fine because they're not winning the Super Bowl. Whereas if the Rams win this game, I could absolutely see them winning the Super Bowl. Now, as we said, the 49ers 6 in a row over the Rams. That's not lost on the Rams, but Cooper Kupp says that's not really playing into his motivation for this game.
You know, we don't live in a world where we got to use, you know, past motivations or anything like that. I mean, we don't need to, you know, reinvent the wheel here. It's just about doing our job and, you know, take this as, you know, a new week, a new opportunity to go out there and play some good football.
Kyle Shanahan, yeah, we're very familiar with the Rams.
You know each other so well. So it's, you know, we hadn't played Dallas for a while, so it takes a little longer to get a feel for the tape and whatever you watch. Just as eventually you get through the week, you're going to feel different because you soak a team in more, and you can't do that in 1 or 2 days. It takes all week. But when you're going against a team like us going against the Rams, or them versus us, there's not much to soak in. We knew what the tape was going to look like before we turned it on.
You know what I love about that? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter is what he basically said right now. It's going to be about execution. The team that executes the best is going to win this game. That's a fact. He's saying it doesn't really matter. You can watch the tape. You can scheme anything up. You want to scheme right there. We pretty much know each other. In other words, Basinonians, they know exactly what's coming. They know what's coming. They know their opponent. The scouting report is redundant, and it's not going to matter because it's going to be the team that executes the best. When you hear me say, you know what, at some point in time, you got to line up and just be better than the guy across from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he just said right there. Didn't say it, but that's what he meant. At some point in time, you got to line up, Basinonians, and just be better than the guy across from you. That means you've got to execute better. And then the guy next to you, and the guy next to him. And if you execute the play, it'll work, believe it or not. Even if it's the worst play known to man that you could possibly have in that situation, if you execute it and everyone does his job, it'll work.
And that's, I mean, that's coming from Kyle Shanahan, who has won the last six meetings. It is, this division is like paper, rock, scissors when you go through and you're like, okay, well, San Francisco always beats the Rams, and the Rams beat the Cardinals, and the Cardinals always beat San Francisco. And it's just very strange where there's like no real logic to it. But at a certain point, it's not, hey, San Francisco won that game in week 18, so maybe they can beat the Rams. No, they've been beating them 3 years now consistently, twice a year. And you're right. I mean, the familiarity at this point, there shouldn't be any surprises on either side. And the last six meetings don't matter when the game kicks off.
It doesn't.
But what does matter is if Kyle Shanahan knows Sean McVay so well that he knows how to beat him. I mean, they have a history before McVay was ever a coach, you know? And so
I think a lot of times Crazy Carl showing up also influences a team. By way of example, when you're talking about 6-0, you're 6-0 against mm-hmm. this team that you've played the last six times. What happens if, in fact, Matthew Stafford does throw a pick? What happens?
Early? Yeah.
No, even later in the game when it's a tie game going into the fourth quarter and suddenly he throws a pick, or you kick it off and San Francisco takes it back for a touchdown. Crazy Carl shows up. At some point in time, the Rams players might subliminally start fighting on the sideline. Here we go again. Here we go again. Here it is again. They'll never admit that, but you have to wonder, at some point in time, being a human being, here we go again. In the fourth quarter, Crazy Carl shows up, and the ball's going the other way for a touch.
You do have to wonder, though, like, does it, which team needs Crazy Carl more, as you put it? San Francisco.
49ers.
Yeah.
49ers need Crazy Carl to show up.
What if he shows up on the Rams side at all? I think that's it. You know what I mean? And that's why I feel like you have to take the Rams in this game, just because are there ways the 49ers could win? Yeah, they keep beating the Rams. But if you stack the different ways the 49ers could win this game, and then you stack the ways the Rams could win this game, I think it looks like a skyscraper next to a house, honestly. The 49ers have ways. It's not like they have one way and everything's got to go perfect.
Yeah,
but they need the game to be played in their style of football. I will say, though, that Week 18 matchup when they were down 17-0 and were able to come back and win, that to me was going out of their comfort zone a little bit. You're down 17-0. Okay, Jimmy G going to bring you back?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they came back and won that game, so somehow they came back.
I think the Rams, and I think Sean McVay knows this, he's been putting Matthew Stafford a lot more under center than what he did earlier in the season, certainly. Not even close. Putting him under center a lot more, especially in rundown situation, and running an offense that Jared Goff would recognize. I'm just saying.
I just pictured Jared Goff watching on TV like, hey, I know that.
I'm just saying, once again, it's very interesting, and I think they've got to remain balanced, especially against the 49ers and that great defensive line and the great pass rush that they have. They've got to remain balanced to give Matthew Stafford every opportunity to be at his best, running the ball in between the tackles with him under center and using play action to take some shots down the field. Cooper Kupp, man, OBJ, Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, the guy they forget about all the time is Tyler Higbee, the tight end, yet he pops up more times than not, especially in critical situations like red zone. Out of nowhere, there's Tyler Higbee. I'm a big fan of his and a big fan of this offense and the change that Sean McVay has made.
Jimmy G, real quick, talked also about knowing the Rams very well.
You always go back and watch the prior games. That's kind of where it starts, and then you kind of just take it from there, the games that they've played recently. You know, there's a lot of football that they've played throughout this whole season, so you don't want to bog yourself down and be too overwhelmed with all the stuff. So, I mean, we know these guys as well as possible, playing for a third time now. Nothing will really surprise us, I wouldn't say.
Did I just see that the Steelers GM is stepping down after the draft?
Can you believe that? Kevin Colbert.
Yeah.
Kevin Colbert, he's 65 years old. He is stepping down after the draft. This is the most underrated general manager in the NFL, in my opinion. When people talk about the best general managers in the NFL, rarely do they start with Kevin Colbert. And they probably should.
I just feel uncomfortable anytime the Steelers make any sort of big change. Because, you know, Roethlisberger's been your quarterback for 18 years. Tomlin's been your coach for 15 years. I think they've had, two coaches in my lifetime and, three coaches ever. I just assume their front office stunning. And their coaching staff is always just the same.
That is stunning.
Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, the Suns are back in action against the Timberwolves tonight. Remember when Devin Booker was supposedly leaving Phoenix to go play in Minnesota? That's obviously never happening. We'll get into it next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station. A Friday night fish fry. A Friday night date night at Ocean 44 that sets you back half a paycheck. Wolf and Luke.
Oh, my goodness. A local band, ladies and gentlemen. The Heartless with Lydia on the rejoin right here. How beautiful is that, my friends?
Oh. That's a solid rejoin.
That is solid right there. I love that, man. Way to go, Johnny Hayward. Love you, buddy. The Heartless. And this guy is anything but heartless. Peace and strength, my brother.
We should
do
more local bands.
I'd love that, man. Yeah. Seriously.
I like that.
Have the entire Phoenix music scene writing songs with rejoins built into the beginning of them.
That is a good one right there, The Heartless. We're going to play it again, my brothers.
Local bands, DM the show account.
Hey, good is Wolf as good does.
The Phoenix Suns back at it tonight, Wolf. Maybe it's not fair, but at this point I just expect to win every time. And when they lose, I'm like, oh, hold on. What happened? Yeah. Did I get the wrong update to my phone or something if I'm not watching it? tonight, hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, if the season ended today, is actually who the Suns would play in the first round, except you can't even say that anymore because of the play-in tournament. But right now, the Timberwolves are the 8th seed at 24-24. The Suns, of course, the number one seed at 38-9. That play-in tournament's getting interesting because right now it would be the Clippers, the Timberwolves, the Lakers, and Portland. I mean, if that's what it ends up being, and there's kind of a gap between 6-seed Denver and then that group, and then that group and the 11-seed New Orleans. So there's a decent chance those are the four teams where two come out. But think about that. You get the Clippers, who Kawhi's coming back at some point, right?
Or did
he? We don't even hear updates on him anymore. You got the Lakers, who do have talent. You've got Portland, who would have Damian Lillard back by that point. And then you got Minnesota. Tonight's opponent, who is not a bad team. We're going to talk to Kevin Ray in a little bit and get his thoughts on the T-Wolves. But they've They've got some talent on that team. Anthony Edwards is looking like a guy worthy of being taken at the top of the draft like he was last year. So this is going to be, this could be a little more of a challenge for the Suns tonight.
No, I'm with you on that. Listen, the Suns, though, it's all about them and how they play. This is the incredible thing about it. I cannot get over this. I do not mean to disrespect anybody. Anybody for the T-Wolves, anybody that the Suns typically play. Now, there are teams that have the same talent that the Phoenix Suns have, but there are teams that are out there, they don't have the same toughness as the Phoenix Suns. They don't. Mm. The Suns, so much of the time, you know how rare this is in professional sports. This is extremely rare. But based on how the Suns have played and the production we have seen them play with, the Suns are at a point where it's, I want to say 70% of the time, 75% of the time, it's all about how they play. That's what's going to determine whether or not the Suns are going to win the game. It's about how they play. You know, how many mistakes do they make? How many breakdowns are there on defense? It's more about the Suns than it is their opponent determining who's going to win the game. Do you know how rare that is? That's how good they are.
It is rare because you hear teams say it a lot of times. Like they go into a game, I'm sure Minnesota, they're like, okay, well, you know, it's not about the Suns. It's about if we play our game. Well, unfortunately for you, it is about the Suns because the Suns are the better team. And if they play their game, it's going to be really tough to beat them. Now, we've been on the other side of this with the Suns and other teams around the Valley where it's like, okay, it's all about going out and controlling what you can control. And there's a lot of truth to that. But, you know, when you go into a matchup, if the other team just plays out of their mind and plays to their ceiling and your ceiling's not as high as theirs, it's going to be tough.
Right.
But the Suns are on the right side of that. If they play their game, they're going to beat anybody in this league except maybe Golden State or Brooklyn, maybe, if Brooklyn were at full strength.
And once again, one of the things that it just blows my mind is the fact that they play 82 games, man. They play 82 games a year. You know, I'm not trying to make it sound like football is basketball and basketball is football. But we all know you play 17 games and you can get up. You can get up for those 17 games, you would imagine. It's only 17 days. You got to really get up and be ready for. And yet at the same time, how many times I was not ready to play in 10 years, okay? How many times I was, now again, you know I was a man of desperation out on the football field, but there were days, Basin Owings, where I went out there and I knew I didn't have it. I didn't have it. And you know what I started doing? Talking. Because I knew if you started talking, started challenging somebody else, you better back it up, dude, because here it comes. You're going to get slaughtered on the football field if you don't do it. But you know what? Basketball, 82 times you got to get ready. Mm-hmm. It's a physical, it's a cardiac sport. It is, man. I mean, this thing, it will exhaust you if you play it correctly and you play it hard. It's physical. It will jack you up. And to me, the fact that they have to do it 82 times in a year, summon that intensity. And how routinely we see the Suns do it. That's why they're so special.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what you were talking about with Buck Showalter the other day, saying how the most difficult thing in baseball is showing up at the park every day, ready to play, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's 162 games. I get that this is only 82, but yeah, you're coming off a season where you almost won the title.
But and you then, know how much more physical basketball is than baseball.
Oh, much. I would say basketball... I don't know. Basketball is a very exhausting sport. As somebody that grew up playing hockey his whole life, and hockey's not like, you know, it's not the easiest sport in the world, but basketball in some ways is more exhausting. Like if you know how to skate, hockey's not nearly as exhausting as you might think. Basketball's like, I mean, it is, it'll burn you out. And to be able to show up with the mental focus of, I mean, they treat these games like it's somewhere between we got to have this game, even though it's game 47 out of 82, and you don't have to. The Suns could lose to the Timberwolves tonight. They're fine.
Right.
But they're going to go out there, and you figure they're going to, for at least 80% of that game, be playing it like we got to have this game. And also, like I said yesterday, you get the feeling if these guys weren't playing basketball tonight, they'd all just be at a gym somewhere playing basketball tonight.
Yeah.
So it's still fun for them. When you have that combination, it's just so tough for the opponent. And it's one of the things I marvel the most about the Suns team is their ability to be this dialed in pretty much every night. Like, they had a lull in the second quarter the other night. It's not 100% of the time. But for most of these 82 games, it feels like they're going to be locked in.
Yeah, they're going to be locked in. And this is the reason why culture is so important, Basinonians. This is the reason why the Suns are the best team in the association, because of their culture. It's so important because defense is a big part of what they do. See, that is always their baseline. You hear Devin Booker talking about this. You hear Chris Paul talking about this. You hear Monty talking about it. It's their baseline. Defense. And their defense, they're able to play defensively so consistently, game in, game out, game after game after game. It's on the defensive end of the floor that looks so consistent, because so much of it has to do with effort as well. And that's where your toughness will show up, I think, a lot of the time defensively.
Mm-hmm.
That's their baseline. That is who they are. There's going to be some nights they go out and shoot the ball well. Other nights they go out there and they're not shooting the ball well. They're not moving the ball. We've seen that happen, yet they still win games. Why? Because they can lock it down, man. They can lock it down in the fourth quarter. They can lock it down in the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter and win the last 6 minutes. They're clutch. And it's really because their culture is clutch.
Minnesota needs crazy Karl Anthony to show up. That's what they need tonight. That's not exactly just crazy Karl, crazy Karl Anthony.
I like it.
The previous meeting, he went off. So did Devin Booker. And I do wonder, you know, there was all those two are close. And the last time they played, it was a close game. It was 99-96. Karl Anthony Towns had 35-13 in that one. Booker had 29 on 7-16 shooting, 5 rebounds, 5 assists.
Do you got the score going into the fourth quarter on that? Am I remembering that correctly?
Minnesota was, so the Suns were up 2. I'm doing the math backwards. It would have been 66-64.
Okay, there you go. 66-64. I'd like you to go in the last 6 minutes, go into that and take a look at it as well. And
all right.
Don't do it.
This is like 2 months ago.
We don't have time for you to actually throw out more stats.
Good, because
right
I don't have them.
But I'd like to do it, because if memory serves, that was another game where they won it right down the stretch. That's when they had to.
What they do. It was a close game, right? I mean, what was the stat I had last week, and it's only gotten more pronounced. They were 13-2. In games decided by 8 points or less, the Suns, and now they are 15-2 in games decided by 8 points or less. But I would just say, with Booker and Karl Anthony Towns, for the longest time, the talk was, hey, those two are going to have to team up because it's the NBA and they're going to have to play together, right? I'm guessing they're not ever going to play together, but with them both on the floor tonight against each other, I would expect a show from both of them as the Suns go for their 9th consecutive win. And we'll get more into the ins and outs of that game in about a half hour when Kevin Ray joins us to preview that one with Game Day with K-Ray. When we come back, though, how can Kyler Murray and the Cardinals move on from how this season ended and get better? And when does that have to start? You're going to hear a former Cardinals take on that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Sponsored by BioNTech and Pfizer.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke.
Alert, alert, alert!
Presented by 72 Soul. Get your price. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Settle down, Axe. No reason to lose your mind. Just scream.
You think they knew? Like, I have to think when you're a musician, you know when you've written a song, it's just going to be a huge hit.
I think they had to.
Yeah.
They had to know right there. Just that intro right there. Welcome indeed to the jungle. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They knew it at that point.
You can't play Guns N' Roses for Wolf on a Friday. He's just going to start running laps around the table.
Just
in here.
Honestly, it brings back so many memories of getting ready to play a football game, ladies and gentlemen. I kid you not. walking around with the GNR hat, listening to Little Guns, getting ready to go out into the tunnel. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have given me.
Doesn't it bring back memories of going to Guns N' Roses shows, too, and like just getting
to really
walk? No?
Not really, okay. No. I equate GNR with football.
Over GNR?
Yes. GNR with football.
Okay. All right.
Tunnel time. Here we go.
Fair enough. All right. The Cardinals, obviously a rough way to end the season, and now you start to pick up the pieces and figure out where you're going forward with this. Big Red Rage, last night, Jay Feely joined you, Wolf, and he said to start this process, if you're the Cardinals, you want to get to where teams like the Rams and the 49ers and the Bengals and the Chiefs are, you got to be honest with yourselves internally.
They have to be honest with themselves.
Yeah.
And when I say they, and you as well, you mean players looking at themselves,
yes,
and being honest about where their deficiencies are and how to get better. Coaches looking at themselves and say, where did I struggle? Where didn't I do a great job? Why do we continue to not do well in the second half of the season?
Yeah, Jay Feely right there talking about what the Arizona Cardinals need to do. And specifically, he was talking about Kyler Murray and the fact that Kyler Murray has got to get better. And that is the best thing about this, ladies and gentlemen. Kyler Murray has improved so much from year one to year three. You juxtapose those 2 years right there, the improvement is real. And we've seen it all from Kyler Murray. He's got to continue to develop and take that next step in terms of preparation and development. He's got to continue to do that. And the biggest thing that if you're Cliff Kingsbury and you're Steve Keim, you're the Arizona Cardinals, you need your franchise quarterback to be accountable above all else. He's got to be accountable. It's got to start with him. And the way you do that, Basinonians, is to be humble. Well, Kyler Murray's humility is going to decide whether or not he learns from this and gets better or doesn't.
I cannot imagine being on the wrong end of that game and not being humbled a little bit, no matter what you've accomplished in your life and your career and how confident you are just in general. And you should be confident. Otherwise, if you're not going to be confident, you're not. If the Cardinals are lacking in confidence, they're never going to get where they want to go. You don't want a quarterback that lacks in self-confidence. But if your fear with Kyler Murray is he feels like he's already here, well, that game, I'm sure, was a pretty strong signal that this is not necessarily where you want to be yet. You're not where you want to be. Not all the way, anyway. This is Jay Feely again talking about Kyler Murray and how he needs to take a page from Josh Allen on how to take the next step.
I think it starts at the quarterback position to me. I think it was very evident last weekend when you watched Josh Allen how good he is. You know, you go back to his rookie year, and people were absolutely calling him a bust and saying that the Bills made a very poor decision by moving up in the draft to go get him and to make him their quarterback. And I think what separates Josh Allen from some other guys in the league is that he had the humility to look at himself and to objectively look at where his weaknesses were and then be proactive in going out and getting somebody like a Jordan Palmer who could help him to address those weaknesses and then be committed in the offseason not to going and spending this time having fun, traveling, doing all these things, to say, no, I'm going to spend 3 months out in California with you, Jordan Palmer, and I'm going to let you help me get better as a quarterback and learn the game.
There's a lot of truth to that, right?
Man.
If you're talking about trying to become the very best at the quarterback position in the NFL, or, you know, Kyler's in that group, I think we would all agree with the best young quarterbacks right now in the league that have the potential to be, you know, the next great one. If you're talking about that, where that level where there's so little space between, you know what I mean? There's not much that's going to make Josh Allen better or Patrick Mahomes better, or maybe even take Mahomes and set him aside.
Yeah.
But like Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert or Kyler Murray, then you can't leave anything to chance. As much as that might sound rough of like, yeah, you're not traveling the world and taking vacations these first few years. You're out there working on it in February. If you want to be as good as Josh Allen, you want to keep up with those guys, you may have to.
Yeah, you know, honestly, he's got to own what happened. What happened in that last playoff game? He's got to own what happened going down the stretch as well. He's got to learn from it. He's He's not a finished product, and he's got to be the first one to say that and understand that. And I'm not saying he's not.
He
might be. I'm just saying he's got to do that based on what we saw, and I'm not just talking about the last game we saw him in, the playoff game. I'm talking about down the stretch as well. I don't put all the blame on Kyler Murray for going 1-4. I do not, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, not even close. But he's got to own it all and understand this will help him get better if he embraces it. It will, and it's undeniable.
I think we would all agree if Kyler Murray just is what he became last year, this is a playoff team pretty much every year. But they're not going to go very far in the playoffs if he is just what he was last
year.
That's
a good way to say it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. And he's got to take that next step in development.
And, you know, honestly, if you had asked, I don't know, 3 weeks into this season, who I would take over Kyler Murray for the next 10 years at that position, I would have said Mahomes, and I would have had to think long and hard beyond that. And now it's like, okay, if we're being fair, Josh Allen has moved ahead of him. Joe Burrow has moved ahead of him right now. Now, that doesn't mean Kyler Murray can't pass them back up, mm-hmm. and we're talking about the very best of the best. Josh Allen just dueled Patrick Mahomes all the way to the point where a coin flip had to decide it, basically. And Joe Burrow might win the Super Bowl in his second year in the league, and he's the reason why Cincinnati is as good as they are. So the bar has been raised this year.
Yeah, and can I also say, too, I think we need to understand this, and you need to be able to speak of this. It's not just Kyler Murray, man. It isn't. I think that is myopic. If you look at it and say, you know, Kyler Murray, he's the reason why the Arizona Cardinals lost that playoff game. There's so many other guys inside that locker room who have to do the exact same thing. This is what you got to be, man. You got to be your harshest critic. And if you're that, if you train yourself to be that, you will get better. You will. It's not a talent issue. It isn't. It's a you issue. It's about you and your personality and whether or not you've got a modicum of humility about you that will allow you to look at yourself and say, man, I got to get better in A, B, and C. I have to do this. It's not just, you know, hey, Kyler, that's good. You worry about yourself, Kyler. I'm going to worry about me getting better. Every player in that locker room has got to do that. And it's not about talent because, once again, I've been around the most talented individuals you could possibly imagine, like Walter Payton and Lawrence Taylor. And those two guys, they shared a common interest. And that interest was, you know what? You need to get better. Lawrence Taylor believed that, and so did Walter Payton. And if those guys, having the talent they had, if they believed it, you know what? Maybe every other guy in that locker room should believe it as well.
Now here's one more from Jay Feely real quick on how the Cardinals could improve their roster this offseason.
They're going to have to go out and you have to try to figure out the linebacker position. Yes. You got two first-round picks, and they have to get on the field, and they have to play, and they have to be successful. You know, you need those two guys out there playing, helping your team. You know, and that's something that has to be addressed this offseason. They need a corner. They need a shutdown corner if they can get it. You need a number two receiver, I think. You know, if you bring Hop back and you try to get a number two receiver. I mean, obviously Christian took strides this year when they moved him into the slot and had his best year. But he's a free agent. Who knows, you know, what kind of offers he gets. So I'd love to see him bring James Conner back.
I know.
I think he fit this offense really well and flourished. You know, and brought a physicality that they really needed at that running back position.
We have conversations, of course, on Big Red Rage, ladies and gentlemen. Never interviews, conversations.
Mm.
Yes. Which is why I was, yes. Yeah. Preach it, Jay.
I was hoping you were going to say that live, too, over your own voice. Like, I was hoping, like, that you were going to have the same reaction organically here and just be talking at the exact same time as yourself saying the same thing.
I do
things.
That from time to time, don't
know.
I?
Occasionally, it's been known to happen. All right, we come back. We're going to switch gears back to basketball. It's a Suns game day, which means game day with K-Ray. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.